All right. Title of my message is Make It Hard for Your Loved Ones to Go to Hell. Reading from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. And here we go with verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, that is the Jews, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now I want you to go back this morning to verse 3, and I want us to zero in on that. Of course, as you've noticed as we read, the Apostle Paul speaks about a great heaviness and a great sorrow continually in his heart for the lost Israelites. And he said, verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He doesn't say, I do not understand this, that he is wishing himself to be accursed from Christ, but that his love and his concern was so great for his kinsmen, his fellow Israelites, that he could wish that himself were accursed from Christ for them, if it would bring their conversion. All right? We're not going to spend a lot of time there on that, talking about the various interpretations there and how we could look at it. What I want you to see from these verses today is the great love and the great concern that the Apostle Paul had for his lost loved ones, that the Holy Spirit had recorded in the book for people there in Rome where he wrote this letter, and for every generation of Christians since then over a period of roughly 2,000 years. Even down to this moment, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to be concerned as a saved person about your lost loved ones, your lost friends, the lost neighbor. That's what he's saying. Well, it would seem like that he wouldn't have to tell us that. Why did he need to put that in the Bible? Because you and I are so sinful, we can get so busy with a lot of stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans, and we cannot be concerned for them as we ought to be. That's what we want to look at this morning for a few minutes. What I'm saying this morning and what the title of this message said is, we need, as individuals, as Christians, to make it as difficult as possible for our loved ones to go to hell on our part. I know we can't save them, but we ought not to let them go to hell like they're riding on a grease pole. And sometimes it looks like some people who profess to Christians are about in that kind of a mood. We ought to make it hard on our part for our loved ones, our friends, our relatives, to go to hell. We ought to put up some blocks, some obstacles that they've got to go over in order to get to hell. We ought not to make it easy. We ought not to make their path smooth. And we certainly ought not to remove obstacles out of their way to make it easier for them to go. So I want us this morning to look at some examples of some things that we can do to make it hard for our loved ones to go to hell. Number one, live a faithful Christian life before them. Show them Christ is real to you. Be living epistles. Now, let me tell you, you say you've said that before. I've said it before and I'll say it again because, dear people, your lost loved ones, most of the time, are not going to read the Bible. It's hard enough to get Christians to read the Bible, right? That's right. So your lost loved ones are going to read your life more than they're going to read the Bible. And that's why I said be living epistles, be living letters. You be a living testimony for God. 1 Peter 3:1 says that's the way saved wives could win their husbands, was by living the life in front of them and being, as it were, a sermon in life, in activity, in word, in deed. Listen, dear people, today, your lost loved ones many times are not going to come to church. They're not going to sit down at the TV and listen to a preacher. They're not going to sit down at the radio and listen to a preacher. They're not going to do any of that. They are only going to be looking at people. And if they're your friend, they're going to be looking at you. You're going to be around them. If they're your loved one, they're going to be looking at you. You're going to be around them. And what are they seeing? And the tragedy today is that many lost people can use their supposed to be saved loved ones and relatives and friends as an excuse not to turn to Christ and not be lying when they do it. Now, folks, we've got to show people, if we're going to put an obstacle in front of them, that the Lord means something to us, that He's real, and that He means more than anything else to us. And we get the opportunity to do that because God gives His people that opportunity. God has situations arise that give you and give me the opportunity to show the people, our loved ones, our friends, how much God means to us because they're reading us. The question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? That's the question. That's the question. You see, dear people, this morning, that's setting up a roadblock. You've got to act like the Christian life means something to you. You can't tell the other person they need what you've got if there's 1,001 things that you treasure more than you do the Christian life. If it's money, if it's material things, if it's jobs, if it's pride, if it's crowns, if it's all these things, popularity, don't expect them to buy your rubbish that the Lord means a lot to you. Now, when the Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ," how many people do you think that knew him doubted what he said? No, sir. He said, "I've been in, I don't know what, 2 or 3 shipwrecks. I've been in prison. I've been beaten and left for dead. I buried my body in the marks of Christ." I mean, if you looked at Paul, if Paul said, you know, "For me to live is Christ," once you looked him over and once you knew what he'd been through, you said, that man's got something. That man loves the Lord. That would impress folks that were lost. That would impress people. They'd say, I want that. If I ever get saved, I want what that fellow's got. I want what that woman's got. That's different. That's not that convenience type of religion. That man, that woman means it. You could look at the Apostle Paul and see that. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. Folks, we've got to get out of this mess today of acting so much like the world till we get caught up in it and you can't tell the difference between us and them. We like everything from sports to money to clothes to automobiles to material things of all kinds, and we'll break our neck and we'll go to great lengths and great extremes and all this stuff, and our young people are going to hell right beside us, and we don't busy ourselves. If they needed shoes, we'd buy it. But we don't do anything. And they're going to hell. And listen to me today, folks. I don't believe that people believe. Christians believe that hell is hell anymore. I believe we've been marinated, like I said this morning, by the world. We don't believe that hell is hell anymore. We don't believe it's awful. We act like it's worse for a person to go through surgery than it is for them to go to hell, and we've got to change that way of thinking. Where's all the family going today? All taking off work? Going where? Going up to the hospital and no Ellie. Why? They're having surgery up there. All the family shut down the jobs. Everything goes second. Why? You're going to have surgery. But I'm going to tell you what, if that's for surgery, what do you reckon is going to happen when they go to hell? How much shutting down do you do anything to try to get them right with the Lord, or whenever they're looking at you to see whether you're going to put God first or not? They're reading that. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Praying's good. But I'm talking about something that is backing your prayers up. You don't come to God and give these little mealy-mouthed prayers and then put 1,001 things ahead of God. Your loved ones today and my loved ones are going to have to see God costing us something. Serving God. Old David said about a field he was going by back there threshing for. He said, God forbid that I give to God anything. It didn't cost me anything. And we got a lot of Christians today who want to live the Christian life free. How did it cost you? All right, second thing, as we hurry along here this morning, do your best to witness to them if you possibly can. Now, I know folks, I've got folks I can't witness to. They don't listen. They get mad, they're just mad, they don't really hear. They get mad, you can't talk to a person that's mad. You can't talk to them, they're not going to listen to you, and turn you off. So I said, do your best to witness to them if you possibly can. There's one thing that they can't do. You get back right here to living the Christian life in front of them. You can live your life. Some people you can't talk to. Some people you can. Some people at the right time you can talk to them. You have to watch for the time. You have to watch for the time. Just not any time. You have to be wise. You have to look for that opening. If you possibly can. If you can't, give them tracks. Sometimes they won't take the tracks. You can give them that. You have to be wise, dear people. You have to be wise. You have to be wise. You're sitting around in the conversation. Y'all, this is your house. How many times do you ever talk about how wonderful it is to be saved? No. I'm making $100 an hour. I'm driving a Cadillac. Huh? Oh, 1,000 acres. What about the politics? Who do you think are running for president? You got lost, hell-bound lovers sitting right there. And never, never do you steer the conversation to what it means to be saved and how wonderful. You don't even have to witness to them directly. You can talk to yourselves about how wonderful it is. Just let them sit there and listen. But we're not wise enough. We do not. I make the same mistake many times as a preacher. Many times you think, well, that was a good opportunity. But sometimes, you know, when you go around people, you can't ever get to steer the subject down because these Christian people, these Christian loved ones, or these lost loved ones will keep you off of the subject. You know, some Christians are not bare eyes. They'll keep you off of the subject. Sad, sad. I tell you one thing right now, dear people. Do your best to witness to them if you possibly can, but you have to be wise. You can't stay on them all the time. That's not witnessing. You can't ride them into the ground. Sometimes the witnessing has to be indirectly. They have to hear it when you're talking to somebody else or when you're talking to one another about how the Lord saved you. You ever thought about going on your testimony? So, but how did the Lord save you? See, I'm sitting here with Brother Charles. We're around here, some of his lost loved ones. Brother Charles is a wise man, so he said, Brother Gordon, would you tell me about how the Lord saved you? And then I'll tell you how the Lord saved me. Well, we didn't even get this lost loved one, he's not even in the conversation. He's listening. Now, if he gets up and walks off, we can't help that. We still go ahead and talk about it. We don't think like that. You know why we don't think like that? Hell is not as real to us as it is, and we're not as interested in putting up roadblocks as we ought to be. Right. I like sports as much as anything. But you know who, if you're talking about the Rams or the Saints or the Packers or whatever, will convert them, they'll all go to heaven. Bunch of Christians get together, talk about politics, talk about sports, and talk about everything with their lost loved ones sitting there and never get around to the Lord. Have you ever watched that? I want you to watch it from now. Just say, never get around to it. Well, somebody said that. I hear somebody say that. Well, preacher, we don't want to be a fanatic about it. No, we just want them to go to hell. I'll guarantee you, if you all sit around talking about the Lakers and the Packers and all that stuff, and one of them come out of that chair and turn purple, you would just keep talking, would you? And if you did, somebody said, hey, there's something wrong with him. You better get him to call the ambulance. He's going to die. Yeah, and he's going to go to hell someday, too. You better wake up. More urgent than getting to the doctor is being saved. Because every doctor is helpless sooner or later. They always lose and die just like their patients do. I'm not against going to the doctor. But I'm telling you, dear people, today, we don't put up enough obstacles. And I'm saying we. We have to. This is a sinful world. People are bent on going to hell in spite of everything. And they are always talking about their wickedness, their sin, how many women they slept with, how they did this and how they did that. And where are these mealy-mouthed Christians? We got our tail tucked between our legs, hiding in the closet somewhere in the bushes. That's the same shame, folks. That's what we're doing. Listen, dear people, this morning. Third thing, pray for them daily. Pray for them daily. You got loved ones going to hell? And you too busy to stop and pray for them? Well, I forgot to pray today. And you say you care about your loved ones are lost? Don't tell me you care about your loved ones. You didn't even think to pray for them. You know what you do? You'll let them die, and they'll die lost, and you'll walk up to that casket, and you'll cry enough tears to fill up their casket with. It's too late then, baby. It's all over with. Pray. Take time out. You've got loved ones going to hell. You ought never to let a day come and go without you sending up a prayer for their salvation. If you love them, if you care for them, and if you don't, it's because you've become callous and you've become insensitive and you've become hardened by the spirit of the world. And I believe that's what's happening to many Christians today. That's sad, isn't it? And I tell you, pray for them daily. That's privately. And that's publicly. And even let them know you do. Say to them sometime, I love you, daughter. I love you, son. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And I'm praying for you to be saved. God will help you to see your need of Christ. God will work on your heart. God, I'm praying for you. How many people that you really love have you ever told that you're praying for them to be saved? How many of us ever got that far? Oh, we're too busy doing other stuff, aren't we? The thing that hits us is when we go to their funeral. Then we start getting feeling guilty about the things we didn't do. Listen, dear people, everything shrinks into insignificance when you step from this life into eternity. Everything in this life becomes very insignificant. Pray for them publicly, privately. Tell them you do. Fourth thing, enlist others to pray with you. Get other people to pray with you. You know, I've noticed when people have got people that are really sick near to die, they make sure you get the word. Pray for so-and-so. He might die. They don't do that about their lost people. Nope. No, they're not. They come and feel like you say, pray for my family. That's good. Why don't you call one of your family members by name every once in a while and say, pray for so-and-so. Huh? Why don't you make it personal? Why don't we make it personal? We always want to take a shortcut, don't we? Listen, I'm talking to you folks this morning about putting up obstacles in front of our lost people. Enlist others to pray with you. If you really are concerned, you want all the help that you can get. You want everybody praying for that individual, church, friends, loved ones. And tell your loved ones that you're praying for them and you're asking others to pray for them. You say, you don't know my loved ones. They'll get mad and they're going to hell too. Don't forget that. P.S. You want them to go to hell in a good humor? Or you want them to go to heaven rejoicing, having got mad at you one time because you said, we're having everybody down at the church pray for you. And if one says, well, tend to your business, you say, I am. Did you know what God expects me? Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. There it is. The lost sinner can chase his women, drink his booze, use his dope, but he'll not tell me who I can pray for. That's my personal business. And if I want to pray for him, I want to pray for her not to go to hell, I'll do that. They can't stop me. They have no right to forbid me. That's between me and my God. That's an act of obedience. They can disobey God and go to hell. I am going to do what I'm supposed to. That's the way you look at it, folks. Sometimes you and I give the impression to our loved ones that it's no big deal that they're lost. Oh, well. It's like having a hairdo and getting it messed up. There are no second chances once this life is over. That's it. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. So enlist others to pray with you. Not in your place, but pray with you. Listen, dear people. On Sunday evening for his prayer time here, everybody with lost souls in this church ought to be in one of these prayer groups praying. And calling the name. You may not have time to call everybody your lost someone's name, and you certainly don't have time to go into their history. Pretty soon everybody gets tired of going there and listen to you monopolize a conversation. You have to use a little wisdom. But give the names of some of your people. Say, pray for them. Next week, give some more names. If you come to prayer meeting like you ought to, you ought to be able to get around within a year about all the names. Right, Brother Charles? Just back in prayer meeting. Besides what you're doing at home. We're talking about getting down to business, folks, of this business of our loved ones going to hell. We're talking about something more than giving them a good wreath, nice-looking wreath on their casket, sister. Trying to save our consciences because we didn't even lift a finger to try to win them. We didn't even pray very much for them. And if we did, it's like this. Now, lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord and the soul. Keep your passion down. Well, wait, pray the Lord and the soul. Take. Amen. I did a little kind of huh? Compare that with, oh Lord, same man, going to have a gallbladder removed tomorrow, Lord. Please be there near him. Please bless the doctors and guide them. Please, please, please. Oh, gallbladder removal is worse than going to hell. I read you loud and clear, you mixed up Christian. Oh, listen, my dear people. Let's move along. Time's passing fast. Invite them to church services regularly and encourage them to come. Invite them. Well, I invite them and we'll come. Invite them again. Now you have to use a little wisdom. You can't aggravate them to death. But you can look at their face and tell when they're getting aggravated. If they're getting aggravated, just skip it a time or two. And do it sideways. Sometimes you have to do it sideways. Indirectly is what I'm talking about. Indirectly. And I'll tell you, sometimes when special services are going on, that's a very good time. If you've been inviting somebody to church that hadn't come, they look like it's about worn out. Every time there's something special going to happen down to church, say, well, by the way, we have so-and-so and so-and-so. That's special. See, that's not the same thing. Get them down there. Get them down to church. Special services. That's it. Listen, dear people. That's not the only time, though. Get them down there. You're going to let your people die and go to hell and you sitting there with your sucking your thumb going, boy, you're really good, aren't you? You had that boy. You had that girl. You went through all the 9 months of carrying a mama and then you're going to give them up to the devil without even a fight? Why, let me tell you, if somebody broke in your home wanting to kill your kid, you'd die for it, but you'll let the devil pack them out, lead them out of the hand, and lead them right into hell and you'll just stand there and pick your nose. Suck your thumb. Isn't that a shame? Listen, their parents, you don't break in their home and you won't do nothing to their children, but they open the door for the devil and hold it for them and say, come on in. Here are my children and introduce them by name and let him walk out with them. Your precious children, supposed to be Christians. Isn't that a shame? Huh? Nope. I like the fellow that said, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. There's no way the devil going to get my kids without a fight. I'm going to fight him all the way for them. It's going to be a battle. Doing the things that I'm talking about today. I'm not going to just throw up my hands. Long as they're alive, there's breath. As long as there's breath, there's life, there's hope. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay in there. That's it. Oh, sometimes they'll run you down. They'll run your church down. They'll run your preacher down. When they get saved, they'll act differently from that. Everybody who gets saved gets better. Did you know that? It changes them. It changes them. All right, let's hurry along. So go along. If necessary, let them swim to hell through your tears of concern. Did you hear me? If necessary, let them backstroke to hell through your tears of concern. I said tears of concern. You don't see anymore many people weeping over their lost loved ones. They don't do it in private. They don't do it in public. I mean, I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about so concerned. I've been in the ministry 54 years, folks. Let me tell you again. I go back to the day when it wasn't anything unusual to see an old gray-haired mom coming down that aisle with tears just streaming down her face. Preacher, pray for my daughter. Pray for my son. He's lost. I don't want to see him go to hell. Heartbroken. Kneel down there by the old beach and you could just hear it talking to God. Oh, listen, folks. Where's Mama today? She don't care. She is hardened. It's no big deal. I've even seen teenagers coming. This is hard to believe, isn't it? Coming down the aisle, crying, meet them and say, what's the matter? My mom and my dad is going to die and go to hell, preacher, and I want to see them saved. Pray with me about them, please. Pray with me and my mama. Where are the teenagers today? Out there having sex and using drugs and everything. And if they're supposed to be Christians, that's part of what I'm describing. And if they aren't, they got the mealy mouth. They can't say anything. What's happened? Brothers and sisters and young people praying for young people. I've seen that. I don't mean putting on, buddy. I mean dead serious. Dead serious. Dead serious. Not that way anymore. We've got a crust on us, folks. The world has crusted us over. We've got a crust on us. We've become hardened. We can go along whistling Dixie while our loved ones go straight to hell as an arrow to its target. And if we don't care, do you think the drug pushers and the honky-tonk operators and the bar operators and all of them are going to care? If you don't care, Christian, and if you don't care, Mama, and you don't care, Daddy, and you don't care, Cousin, and you don't care, Brother, who else can you expect to care? Can't expect anybody. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. It's a sad situation. Make it hard for your loved ones to go to hell. Listen, be willing to sacrifice time and money and convenience. We're talking about a precious soul. How much is it worth? Listen to me quickly. What doth it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How much is the soul worth? How much is that boy worth of yours? How much is that girl worth of yours? How much is that wife worth of yours? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That's a pretty big price tag, isn't it? Listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to me as I hear Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's love for sinners. That's love for sinners. Jesus could go to the cross. You and I can't inconvenience ourselves. We are so busy. It means nothing that people are going to hell. God forbid that we should have to cancel any of our plans or change any of our plans just to try to get someone under the preaching of the gospel or something like that. Who ever think of that? How awful. Goodness gracious alive. I've been a minister 54 years. During that 54 years, I've been what they call a bivocational preacher. There ain't nothing but a preacher that's carrying two loads at one time. I've been a personnel manager. I've been a supervisor. I never had a man in a plan anywhere where I come to me and say, Miss Gordon, I need to be off tomorrow. Yes, sir, why? You say, I got this lost daughter. And she lives 100 miles from here. And my heart's a burden for her. I got to take off tomorrow. I don't have any other time to go. And I got to go and I got to talk to her. But I got to talk to her. She dies, she's going to hell. I've never had the first Christian ever walk up to me and say that. I've had to take off fishing. I've had to take off hunting. I've had to take off. I'm talking about Christians. I never had one take off yet. For lost loved ones. And we say, oh, I want to see my children saved. I want to see my grandchildren saved. It's time for us to quit lying. We don't back it up with facts.
Does this hurt this morning?
Yeah, I hope it does hurt.
Because you see, dear people, it's a lot worse when God looks down. He sees our hypocrisy. He knows when push comes to shove just how much we want to see those lost loved ones saved and how much we don't.
Listen, hurry along. Meet their excuses and objections by pointing out that salvation is a personal matter and they can't use others to justify themselves before God. Listen, dear people, you got lost loved ones. Your lost loved ones will bait you and you're just foolish enough to fall into the trap. They'll start talking about the church where you go. They start talking about your preacher. And you fall right in line and criticize them too. Now, you're really bright. You're really bright. You're working for the devil to help doom and damn the souls of your own people to hell. I hope and pray this morning when it comes time to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, I don't find out that while I've been trying to see souls saved in your family, that you're going home and joining them same people running me down. I'll find out one day. Wash her up, boy. She's all coming out. It's all figured out. We can stay there a while. We won't. Be willing to get answers to their sincere questions if they have some. Somebody says, well, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, so I can't answer all their questions. Well, you can go find out, can't you? It's like this. Well, I don't know, but I'll find out. Right? Right?